Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Knowing Jesus as Lord. One day I sat down to counsel a young man. He was raised in a Christian home and had been taught the Bible his entire life. I asked him, "Who is Jesus to you?" He told me that Jesus died for all of his sins. I said, "That was good," but asked again, "But who is Jesus?" He did not know how to answer this question. Stammered around, talked about he was a man. He thought he was saved, but he did not really understand who Jesus is. A major part of the Gospels is to tell us who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they responded, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus then said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, under inspiration, blurted out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then went on to say that it was on this rock truth that he would build his church. Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Matthew 16:18, "Also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," what he had just said, his confession, his rock confession, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Note that the entire emphasis here is on who Jesus is as the Christ, who is the Son of the living God, which is to say, God. This is exactly the very same thing John says is necessary to believe in his purpose statement in the Gospel of John. John 20, 30 and 31. John tells us why he wrote the entire book. "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing you may have life in his name." John wrote the entire Gospel of John so we might believe in Jesus for who he is, and that by believing this, we might have life. If you do not believe in the person of Christ for who he is, you cannot be saved. This is vital knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, "The truth that he is the Christ, the Son of God, was the truth that he would build his church on." And it is that very same truth that John says is necessary for us to believe in order to have life. The Gospel of John is called the Gospel of Belief. It's a Lordship Gospel. The book begins by saying that Jesus is God, John 1:1. It ends with a climactic example of New Testament saving faith as Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus responds in John 20, 28, and 29, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." This is what it truly means to believe in Jesus. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 20, 28, "Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Note, it must be personal. My Lord, my God. Between these deity bookends in John are seven miracles, seven sign miracles that all point to the deity, lordship of Christ, as do the seven I am statements that comprise the heart of the book. All are pointing to the person of Christ as Lord. John concludes prior to the epilogue with his purpose statement in John 20, 30 and 31, saying that he had selectively written of these sign miracles so we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In the believing, we may have life in his name. His name is his person, and it is inherently linked with deity. Saving faith recognizes Jesus as personal God. The book of Romans begins by emphasizing that the resurrection declares Jesus to be the Son of God. Romans 1, 3 and 4. To truly believe in the resurrection is to recognize Jesus as God, Lord. This is Paul's point in Romans 10:9. His follow-up summary statement is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Romans, Jesus is always referenced as our Lord in regard to all believers. In the scope of Romans 14:6-14, Jesus is referenced as the believer's Lord 10 times. This is shown to be the very purpose of Christ's death and resurrection. In Romans 14:9, Jesus is never seen to be Savior of all believers, but Lord of only some. All true believers share in the unity of one Lord, as seen in Ephesians 4:5. It's a matter of saving faith. 2 Corinthians 4, 4-6 is undeniably a gospel passage. The key issue is the person of Christ. Here Paul says the unbeliever is blinded to the gospel truth of Christ's glory, that he is the very image of God. He goes on to say that his gospel message is to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he further elaborates that for true believers, God, quote, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We read there, 2 Corinthians 4, 3-6, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the truth is necessary to be saved. In conversion, a miracle of illumination takes place on a personal basis that is comparable to "let there be light" in Genesis 1:3. This is an illumination of the truth that Jesus is Lord, that he is the very image of God, and that he is God of very God. When you look into the face of Jesus with faith, you see God in all his glory. By the Holy Spirit, all true believers have come to see Jesus as Lord. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Jesus is Lord is core and essential knowledge of the truth that must be believed on in order to be saved. The word Lord is the Greek word kurios. It literally means master. Lord was sometimes used as a polite address, but when used in reference to the risen Christ, it always denotes deity in combination with the idea of master. It's the idea of God master, one who has sovereign authority. In short, Lord means God master. To believe in Christ as Lord is to recognize him for who he is. He is your God. He is your higher power to whom your allegiance belongs. He is your master. The oldest creed in the church is Jesus is Lord. His resurrection proves his lordship over all, even over the grave. He is the risen Lord, and a saving faith personally believes in him as such. The concept of repentance and the concept of lordship go together. To truly change your mind about Christ as Lord is the essence of repentance. This is why the Bible speaks of the obedience of faith, Romans 1:5, 16:26, 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Saving faith involves a response of submission, of submissive obedience to the truth of who Jesus is. Now, of course, no one understands all there is to know about Christ. As believers, we start as babes, and then we continue to learn and grow, as we will not know him fully until we see him face to face. And yet, in salvation, the truth of who Jesus is as Lord has been realized and appropriated by every believer. This truth changes our lives. The New Testament speaks of believers as being Christ's slaves. Wherever there is a Lord Master, there is always a slave. A servant gives service to someone, but a slave belongs to someone. You can serve someone without them being master. But if you are their slave, they are definitely your master. They own you. The Greek word doulos means slave, And in the New Testament, all believers are shown to be bought with the blood of Christ. We now belong to Him. He is said to be the master over all believers. And we are said to be His slaves. Of course, a slave can be disobedient to his master, but that does not change the reality of the relationship. 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 23. For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called free is Christ's slave. For you are bought. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Revelation 22, 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants, literally, Greek is doulos, literally slaves, and his slaves shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. We are saved by faith alone, but it must be the right kind of faith. And a saving faith believes in Christ as personal Lord. We believe in him as our God Savior. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.